Good afternoon and welcome back to our extended news at noon. Tyler Friel with you. We are continuing on with our election coverage, focusing on the 16th Congressional District. And joining us by phone is the Democratic candidate, and that is Christy Ganibas. Christy, thanks for taking the time and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Christy, is this your first foray into political campaigns?
It is. It is my first time.
And so what, and we've been asking this to all candidates, normally there's one big over, not overreaching, but the number one goal that you want to get accomplished, why you wanted to pursue a job in public life. What is motivating you, and what is one thing that you would like to get done if you were to be elected?
I think the biggest thing is having people believe in government again. Government has been a great tool for me to survive cancer, to become a teacher, to raise my two girls. And things have changed so dramatically over the past few decades. And there's a huge discord and disbelief in government. And I would like to see more real people, more everyday folks running for office that have lived experiences and that are going to bat for us, that are not tied to corporate PACs or dark money or lobbyists. And I think that is probably the biggest overarching goal of mine.
One of the biggest things that the next Congress, if not this Congress, will have to tackle is obviously coronavirus relief packages. There has been a big difference between where the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is and where the Trump administration is in terms of numbers. When you're viewing coronavirus relief, what would you be looking for, and how do you believe Congress should go about distributing funds to the American people?
Yeah, for me, the biggest thing is you know, We've politicized this so incredibly much that it's done incredible damage to our economy. It's possibly closed down businesses, maybe even permanently. And I think action needs to happen as soon as possible, especially for our mom and pop, our, you know, the small and medium sized businesses. You know, the last package that went through, I mean, we got some help, but we saw a lot of that money flowing to the top. To the largest corporations, and meanwhile, we're suffering right here. And so I would like to see, one, a package put together as quickly as possible. The longer we wait to help assist these businesses and assist these folks that have lost their jobs, the worse off we are. It's twice as expensive, if not more, to recreate a business from scratch than to save it now. So for me, it's speed. It has to be quick. It has to be fast as soon as possible. And I would like to see more transparency. You know, for example, with the PPP loans, I think that was fantastic. And more so, it's a grant. Most of those are going to be forgiven. And I think that's great. I think that was awesome that we had that. But there was a huge lack of transparency of who received these loans. And, you know, even my opponent, who received an upward of $1 million of PPP, we don't know exactly how much he got because he voted and many others voted against transparency. And so it's not to say certain folks shouldn't get it, but we need to see who is getting it so that we can make sure those that need it are the ones that are actually getting it. So for me, it's speed and it's more transparency, and it really needs to be a focus on our small businesses and funding for our states to filter down to our frontline workers in our schools as soon as possible.
There just seems to be, you know, you mentioned speed. There just seems to be a really large gap right now in the negotiation process from where the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is to where the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, is. Why do you feel that on both sides there doesn't appear to be any sense of compromise despite the fact that the pandemic is raging on?
Yeah, and listen, I think it really just comes down to both sides politicizing something that has no business being politicized. I mean, these are people's lives. And government's job, and another thing that's incredibly frustrating and a reason why I'm doing this, government's job is to assist the people, to be a guideline, to be a rail for the American people. And we're so busy focusing on how we're going to use this virus in this package and whatever else to each party's advantage for this upcoming election, that we're failing the people. And, I mean, it's happening on both sides. I don't know that there's a quick solution until this election is over, sadly. But I would love to see the Speaker and, you know, the Senate majority putting aside their own bias of who should get what and what looks best for each group and just doing what is best for us. And that's why folks don't believe in government, because they're not doing that. You know, and there's no, again, no easy solution. But, I mean, we certainly have to try. And I think the best thing we can do now is start electing people that don't hide away in Washington, that, you know, really want to represent the people and want to get things done. And, you know, the holdups being who is getting the money, is it going? I mean, we're already in debt. You know, the national debt is rising, and we're going to continue to be that way, especially during a pandemic. And we can argue about how much more in debt we should go. But at this point, again, if we don't act quickly, it's going to be worse down the line. COVID will end. You know, the economy will come back. But how quickly it does depends on our next moves. And if we don't act quickly, we're going to be in a lot deeper than I think we would like.
Healthcare is a major topic of this upcoming election. What are your views on healthcare? Are you a fan of the Affordable Care Act in its current state? What would be your goal to get? What would be your healthcare plan if you were to be elected?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I had ovarian cancer when I was 20 years old, and I did not have a job that provided me healthcare. And I know what it's like to go without, and I know what it's like to struggle. And we have more people every day that are losing their jobs and losing their health care. And not having any type of health plan or option for folks to buy in or to purchase an affordable plan is certainly something that we can't even think about at this point. So for me right now, especially during a pandemic, not just because of the virus itself, but because of folks losing their jobs, we have to protect the ACA. We have to protect it because it is providing an option for folks to have health care that don't have a tie to employment. But more so than that, it helps protect pre-existing conditions. And it keeps, you know, people under the age of 26 on their parents if they're able to. It also provides Medicaid for children with disabilities, or, you know, there's a lot to this ACA that I think people don't really understand. And so do I want something better? I absolutely want to move into something that's better. But until that plan comes out, until we can actually finally iron out those details, we have to save the current plan, which is the ACA. And I hear a lot about that, you know, the current administration has a plan. Until we can see that plan, until we can actually look at it and see what it does, we can't get behind it. So right now, for me, it's saving the ACA, perhaps making it even more affordable and fixing some of the snags that it's created for some folks, especially small businesses that are trying to afford health care for their employees, and then eventually move into into a better system or build upon the ACA in a way that works, you know, better for other folks. But for me, right now, we have to save the ACA, perhaps make it even better. And then if we can move towards something that is more universal, I'd love to see that.
And we're talking with Kristi Ganeba. She is the Democratic candidate for the 16th Congressional District. A lot of this election seems to be a referendum on the president. You know, voters are for him, voters are against him. And that seems to be from the national level the whole way down to even some state house races. Everything is a referendum on the president. Do you think that's a healthy way for the political process to work? And what would be your goals and what's your view on our current political climate?
Yeah, no, I don't. I certainly don't think it's a healthy way, but I think it's kind of a forced scenario that we're in. I mean, we are so divided, and with only upteen days left into this election, I don't think that's going to change much. And so, no, it's not healthy, but it's here we are, and this is what it is. And we were divided before the pandemic. We're more divided because of it. I would love to see that change. I'd love to see us work together. And it certainly doesn't necessarily apply so much to my position. I always argue the fact that, you know, my opponent has been in office for almost a decade. So that has nothing to do necessarily with the current administration. I mean, look at, like, where we are. Where are we here in Western Pennsylvania better than we were, you know, a decade ago because of our current representative? I would like to get back to focusing more on what our electeds are doing for us. And we tie everything so much to this administration because it's been so polarized. And I think it's going to take a long time for that to change, but I'm looking forward to it. It's certainly going to be a process, but I'd like to get to a point where we can disagree on, you know, certain policy or how to get there, but we can at least compromise on things that are good for the people of this nation. And it's just going to take a while to get there. I mean, this is the most divided I think we've ever been, ever. And, you know, it's gonna have to start changing after this current election, and that means electing folks, you know, on both sides, up and down the ballot, that actually have our best interests in mind.
One of the major employers here in Butler is AK Steel, and over the course of the past year, after it being purchased by Cleveland-Cliffs, they threatened the closure unless there were certain loopholes that were closed, and the current representative, Congressman Mike Kelly, has been working with the federal and the Trump administration to try to close those loopholes and save a business. What is your belief on in terms of regulation, in terms of trade policies, that some of these loopholes do exist and can threaten major employers in your district?
Yeah, I mean, AK Steel is one of a kind. It's incredibly valuable for this district. And, you know, I certainly appreciate the sentiment that Representative Kelly is putting into saving this business, but we are in this position because of the tariffs that he also supported. And I understand the point of tariffs to try to make things as American-made as possible. I think that's great. Trying to make us competitive, you know, all of the things that we want, but they were done so recklessly and chaotically that now we are in this position, that's how we are in this position in the first place. And it's the whole situation of you can't have it both ways. There's a lot of things that we need to kind of roll back on and take a broader look at on how to solve these issues. We have up until, I believe, May of next year to make a decision on this loophole or this amendment for AK Steel, and it's going to be past the election, to know whether, you know, Kelly follows through in really helping secure that or not. I would like to say he would, but I can't help but think that, you know, every time around election time, he's always showing up and saying he's going to help us, and then once the election's over, he disappears to Washington for the next year or so. So I understand tariffs. I think that they can be helpful, but I think it's really done a lot of harm the way that they've been administrated. And we have farmers that can't sell, that can't do exports. We have, you know, our AK Steel that's threatening to leave. Because people are circumventing the whole process by putting plants in Mexico to give us the goods that we really need at a lower price and at less quality. So it's going to take a lot to kind of fix that, but I think we can do it, and I think it's making our relationships with other countries more amicable again and being more competitive and really taking a broader look at how we're doing these tariffs.
What industries, as you survey the 16th Congressional District, and I'm talking 10 to 20 years from now, do you think have a chance to provide economic prosperity? Are there certain areas that you would like to see? What specific industries do you think are vital to the long-term financial sustaining growth for the 16th Congressional District?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a few things. I think agriculture is certainly one of them, and then I think the other one is going to be renewable industry and manufacturing to assist with those renewable industries. You know, I like to use this example because it's the most apparent and obvious example. You know, in District 16, Erie County is the most wind-rich county in all of Pennsylvania. Out of the whole state, we have the most wind, and we don't utilize that to our advantage at all. We create no energy at all. There's a lot of things that we're not tapping into here in Western Pennsylvania because our current congressman received hundreds of thousands of dollars from the oil and gas companies, and his wife has great ties to these companies. Now, I think that the energy that we're getting in a lot of those regards is not a bad thing, but I think that we need to be innovative to create new jobs. So it can't just be fracking. It can't just be those types of in-ground methods. There's so much more that we could be gaining here and creating jobs and revenue. I mean, that the example about Erie County being the most wind rich, there's so much energy that could be produced that we could provide energy for almost a quarter of the state I mean, think about the revenue in that we could pull into PA 16 if we actually tapped into that. You know, so I think that there's a lot of things that we're not doing here in PA 16 to be competitive with the rest of the state or with the rest of the nation, because we have a current congressman who is tied to lobbyists, corporate PACs, and dark money. And again, this just goes into starting to elect folks, and hopefully we can overturn Citizens United to change this, but hoping to elect folks that really just want to do what's best for the people of Western Pennsylvania, regardless of who the president is, regardless who the speaker is, regardless of who's trying to buy them off. That has to end. And so I think renewable energy is one. I certainly think agriculture is another. And hopefully we can start developing and growing on that.
What's your thoughts? And you mentioned all the finances and things like that, but there is something to, you know, quote unquote, bringing home the bacon, federal funds coming into the district. Mm-hmm. And we've seen over the course of the last 10 years, some significant federal dollars, including just a few months ago, a major amount of money coming in to help expand Southern Butler County, which is a part of the 16th Congressional District. So while there are some things going on the other side, there have been some financial federal grants that have come into this district. What's your philosophy on, you know, maybe that give and take of Congress where, all right, I got to give a little bit, but I can bring back X amount of dollars to help out my home district?
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, I'm always going to look through the lens of what's best for the people here in Western Pennsylvania. You know, when there's opportunities, you know, for example, actually speaking of opportunities, you know, we have opportunity zones here in Western Pennsylvania that have been incredibly advantageous to us. I would always advocate for that. That's a bipartisan issue. I mean, when we're talking about grants and money coming to the district, I'm always going to be there, you know, asking and advocating for the money, federal money, to come back here to help folks in Western Pennsylvania. So, I mean, that's certainly not a Kelly-specific thing. It's not like because it's Kelly that we're getting this money. You know, I'm going to advocate for it just as much, and it is a bit of a give and take. You're not going to get 100% of what you ask for every single time, but you have to ask. You know, it's important to at least be advocating for on all levels and proving the point of why it's worthy, why we're worthy here in Western Pennsylvania for these grants and for these funds and for these opportunity zones, and showing them what we really could do. So I'm always going to look through it through a lens of what's best for the folks of PA 16. I'm going to advocate for large sums of money to come here as well. You know, that's the goal. That's, you know, representing the people here and yeah, bringing back the bacon for sure.
She's Kristi Ganebis, Democratic candidate for the 16th Congressional District. Kristi, thanks again for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And we'll continue on with our election coverage tomorrow on the Extended News at noon. We'll talk to you then.